الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this week's Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners, our new students to our class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's class, our topic will be on basically piety or taqwa, T-A-Q-W-A, or piety or righteousness. And so I just want to just mention some of that because it's very important for a Muslim to he or she to be as pious as possible. Sometimes they use taqwa as fear. Be as pious as possible, as humble as possible, as righteous as possible, not so righteous that they look down on other people. The righteousness in their deeds, in their actions, that's what I'm talking about, and not looking down on other people, because that's not showing humbleness. If you're looking always down at other people, or what they say, turning your nose up at other people, I think you're better than other people. Now, I'm going to get into a little bit of this when I read through the various examples from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, pertaining to taqwa. How did I spell it? T-A-Q-W-A, taqwa. Okay? Ibn Abbas said, I do not know anyone who acts by this ayat or this particular ayat or a particular verse. And he's talking about verse from chapter 49, verse 13. And y'all can turn to that if you like now. That's chapter 49, verse 13. And each and every one of you should have a Quran near you or with you. And you could very well order one on Why Islam. You get one for free. Or go to store or go online and be able to order a Quran in the language that you feel strongest and you'll be able to understand Quran best. But Quran is Arabic. I want you to understand that. It was Arabic, a book that revealed to all of mankind. So I want you to understand that first. And so what you have are translations, or rough translations of the Arabic. It might be in Spanish, French, Urdu, Italian, other languages, French or whatever language a person speaks. It may be in that language, but it may not, or Korean, but it may not catch all these languages catch the essence of what the Quran is saying, because it was revealed in Arabic. So let's go forward. And it says, mankind, we have created you from a male and female and made you into peoples. Sometimes they say nations and tribes, or peoples and tribes, so that you may come to know each other. The noblest among you in Allah's sight is the one who has the most taqwa. So one of the men asked a question. He said, well, I am more noble than you are. And then it was said to Ibn Abbas and others, he said, no one is nobler than another except by taqwa. You want to be better than me? Then your taqwa, your piety, your righteousness shows me that you're better. That's the only way that you're better than me. That's an important thing to Allah. He's not going to look at us on day of judgment. He created us. Okay, you people over here, this color skin, you are better people than the people over there with this color skin, or this color eyes, or this hairstyle, or a body shape, or body type, or height, or weight, anything like that. No, all these things are unimportant. What Allah is looking for is the taqwa. The thing that is best to Allah, most noblest to Allah, as I read from verse 13 in chapter 49, is the taqwa, the piety, the righteousness of the individual. That's what's important. You may think now that your particular race is better than another race of people, another ethnic group of people. Or because you're male, you're better than female. Or because you're female, you're better than male. All that does not matter. The thing that matters in Islam and matters to Allah is the taqwa of the person, the piety of the person, the righteousness of the person. Their action shows piety. Their righteousness shows piety. Not that I'm bigger than you, or I'm shorter than you, I'm faster than you, I'm slower than you, I read better than you, I'm more intelligent than you. I mean, they go on and on and on with these things. Okay, they're good. All these attributes I mentioned, they're good. No problem with that. You look good, you look good. You don't look good, you don't look good. Okay, that's the way it is. But the thing that is important is not your looks or your intelligence, anything like that, or your body shape. It's all about the taqwa. And that's why I want to emphasize to you all today, that's why these few minutes I have with you, we're going to basically talk about taqwa. And also, it was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and he said, do not envy one another. Do not inflate prices for one another. Do not hate one another, and do not turn away from one another, and do not undercut one another in trade, but rather be slaves of Allah and brothers amongst yourselves. A Muslim is a brother to a Muslim. He does not oppress him. He does not fail him, nor does he lie to him, nor does he hold him in contempt. Taqwa is right here, meaning, and he pointed towards his chest or towards his heart three times. And then I want also mention that it is evil enough for a man to hold his brother in contempt. The whole of a Muslim is that we love our brother or love our sister. We honor their blood. We honor their property, and we honor them as individual. That's what this thing is all about. And so I want to emphasize to you all is that that's the way of Islam. That's the way of a Muslim. So you understand the thinking and the paradigm of a Muslim, how a Muslim is supposed to be. And even those who are not Muslims, these are good characteristics for any human being to have. And to act towards another human being and not undercut another human being, not inflate prices for another human being, not hate another human being just to hate the person because the person doesn't look like you or from your tribe. So these are something that is good for anybody to hold a person in contempt. So these are beautiful things that we should hold to each other or do towards each other. And be brothers or sisters to each other. And treat each other in a nice, in a kind way. This is what we should be doing as human to human. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I gave one episode about talking about how humans should interact with animals. Yes, they're here. They're, for the most part, to serve us, to assist us. And not for us to hurt them or damage them or to beat them or anything like that or to abuse them. That's how humans supposed to have their interaction with the animals. And with a human, with another human, we're supposed to act a certain way with another human. And again, it says what? It says taqwa is here. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he pointed basically three times towards his chest. And I believe it was towards his heart, or in that area that he pointed towards. And that's what taqwa is. Righteousness is in the heart. Piety in the heart. And what's in the heart? And don't just think it just lies in the heart. Imam, it's in my heart. Okay, I got it. But your actions don't show it. What's in your heart should also show in your actions. If piety or taqwa's in your heart, then it should also show in action and how actions and how you treat other people and how you are with other people. That's the way it should be. I want to read on. Also, Al-Hassan related that a man died and left a son with a maula, meaning kind of a guardian. And so basically, I won't go through this whole thing. And so the boy, he grew up, and then he got married, and then the boy was getting ready to leave. And so he asked his guardian. He said, "Well, you know, what do you think I should do? What advice would you give to me? Tell me what you want when I get ready to leave. What you're going to teach me?" And so the boy said, basically, I hope I didn't mix you all too much. The boy said, "Okay, I'm getting ready to go. Teach me something." And so he pointed this particular child to another person who was more knowledgeable than him, or had some knowledge. And the knowledge that this man that bestowed upon his child or this boy is that it was very, very simple. Two things he told him. One, the scholar or this learned man said to him, "Have taqwa of Allah. Be pious, be righteous, be fearful of Allah." Because when you talk about having taqwa of Allah, you're talking about having fear of Allah. Also, you don't want to do anything that's going to make Allah upset with you. You're going to be as humble as possible because you're instructed to be as humble as you can. To treat people in a certain way, as I mentioned earlier. So he said, "Have taqwa of Allah and have patience, sabr." So these are the two things, sabr, S-A-B-R, that's an Arabic word, is sabr. It basically means patience, or be patient, or patience. And so he said those two things. He told a boy, he said, "Have taqwa, piety, righteous, or be a righteous person, and be a very patient person." And we know for ourselves that when we travel, and before we travel, one of the things, we pack our bags and water, wherever we're going to pack to go on our trip. And one of the things that we should also pack, and which is something that you cannot put into a suitcase or to a bag, and that is, but you have to take it with you, and that is patience. Being very, very patient, because we know sometimes traveling can cause a lot of problems and a lot of headaches. Things get delayed, things get lost. You get lost in the crowd, or there's a lot of people, so you don't move as quickly as you like to move. Some things get canceled or delayed. So a lot of things happen, and you lose things. And so a lot of things happen when you're traveling. And so we know that we pack up everything else, including something that doesn't go into a suitcase, but really it's within ourselves, and that is being patient. Patient with the people who we're traveling with, and patient with other people we're going to come in contact with. And so this was the advice. This young man's getting ready to leave. And so he said, "You have these two things." The scholar told him, "You be taqwa of Allah, and that you have patience." And that really, that's for anyone, not just Muslims. That's for anyone that's listening to me. So when you travel, have taqwa of Allah, piety, righteousness in your behavior, and also be very, very patient. So if you don't get anything out of what I just say, at least have the taqwa in the fear, and at least pack your patience when you're traveling. I want to move on. And it also was mentioned that one day after the morning salat or the morning prayer, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, or the Messenger of Allah, he said to us, to the extent that the eyes wept, and the hearts shuddered with fear. A man said, indeed, this is a Pharaoh's speech, a speech he was given. He made the people cry a lot and tremble, sort of, and wept with tears. A man said, indeed, this is a Pharaoh exhortation. So what do you order us, O Messenger of Allah? And he said, I order you to have taqwa of Allah and listen to and obey the person, even if in the case of the Ethiopian slave. Some translation have, even the person have the hair look like raisin. Indeed, bottom line is, whoever's your leader, you obey your leader, listen to your leader. Indeed, whomever amongst you lives, he will see much differences. Beware of the newly invented matters, for indeed they are astray. Whoever among you sees that, then he must stick to my sunnah, and the sunnah are the rightly guided khalifa. Cling to it with your molars, meaning cling tightly to Islam. That's basically what he was saying to the Muslim, and also saying the Muslim stay on the right path. Meaning sunnah, S-U-N-N-A-H, meaning his path, his way, the things that he did, the things that he said, the way he interacted with people. So he told us to hang on to that. And also, in another saying, he said, I leave you two things. After my death, I leave you two things. The death part, I put it. And that is the follow Quran and the sunnah, and you can't go wrong. You want paradise? You follow Quran and my sunnah, a sunnati. And so you follow the way and the path of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and also follow Quran. The Quran has beautiful, beautiful messages within it. You could open the Quran after I finish, after class, open the Quran anywhere in it, and you get some kind of message from it. Even today, I've been Muslim since 1976, and I've been opening the Quran since then, and still, even when I open the Quran today, I still get various messages from the Quran, various guidance from the Quran, reminders from the Quran. This book no matter where it is, where it settles, or where you take it, it matters. Some books is only good for certain times or certain people. This book is for all times and for all people, no matter where they live. It's appropriate for everyone. So when I get through, or we get through with the Quran, you open it up to any page, and you see what I'm talking about. And you might even think, and I'm not asking for credit, you might even think, you know what? Imam was right. I am getting something from that. And I think I mentioned to you before, when they had a case of 9/11 here in the United States, and when that took place, and people didn't understand Islam. Who are these people that are they thinking that Muslims attack Islam? Attacked America, and it's just a people who maybe are Muslim or were Muslim, or people from a place where a lot of Muslims dwell. I don't know the situation. I'm not even getting to that, because not that important. But they wanted to know what motivated the people. Motivated these people to do what they did. And then they read the Quran, and they didn't find that in the Quran. Any kind of motivation like that to do that kind of act, to kill people like that, because we have a portion of the Quran that said, when you save a life, one life, you're like you're saving all of lives. If you kill all the lives, all of humanity. And if you kill one person, it's like you're killing all of humanity. So it goes against what happened on that day. It goes against that just that ayat or that particular verse in the Quran. So these people looked and they read and they read, and were looking for, I guess, why? What motivates these people? And obviously did not find it because some people, they took books off the shelves, they took out the library, they ordered various books about Islam, and people found out the truth about Islam, and instead of going an opposite way, hating Islam, they embraced Islam. And they became Muslim because of what they read, the truth about Islam. And that's what this program's all about. It talks about what Quran and what Islam is and what Islam and what Islam is not. And so I just wanted to remind you the direction of this particular program. You have other programs? Sure, you have other episodes of other people talking about, other podcasts talking about various things. Okay, that's great. Hopefully you learn some things from those individuals. You may become a person who liked that, whatever they're talking about. Do it yourself, whatever it is. But here, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to insult anyone. I'm not trying to hurt anyone, belittle anyone. I'm just telling people what Islam is and what Islam is not. And then they make decision which direction they want to go in. That's all that I'm doing. And I'm trying to answer the questions people may have about Islam and about Muslims. Because they see a person, they're Muslim, and they're supposed to act in a certain way. And they're not acting according to the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, and peace and blessings be upon them. And then, okay, then maybe they don't know. And maybe they need to also learn about what they need to listen to this program and learn what they should and should not do when it comes to identifying as a Muslim. And so I hope that you are catching what I'm saying. So let me move on. And so there was also one of the companions. He said from his father, from his grandfather, that he went with the Messenger of Muhammad, may peace be upon him, to the Musalla, meaning he went to the prayer area, and he saw the people doing business. And so he said, "O people of trade," and they replied to the Messenger of Allah, turning their necks and their gazes towards him. And he said, "Indeed, the merchants will be resurrected on a day of judgment with the wicked, except the ones who have taqwa of Allah, who behaves uncharitably and is truthful." And so this is the direction he gave to the people who were the merchants. And he said, you know, this is going to happen. You will be raised up with the ones who are the wicked ones, the evil ones. Except for those that have taqwa, those who fear Allah, those who are charitable, those who are trustworthy, those who do things according to Islam, or trade according to Islam. They don't have to worry about being raised up with the wicked ones. Because when you're a tradesman, you have an opportunity to do good or do bad, to cheat people or to treat people right. You have that choice. Some people are trusting you. That when you're not going to put your finger on the scale and then charge them for that amount, or charge them for five apples, but you only give them two apples or three apples. And so be very careful about that, because you may think you're getting away with it, but you're not getting away with it. Not we're getting away with anything, because Allah sees everything that you do, and the angels write down everything that you do. And I said to you before, angel on your right side writing down your good deeds, and angel on your left side writing down your bad deeds. And so you are not getting away with anything. You're making a little bit of money. Your pocket's getting fat. Bank account getting fat. Oh, sure. You got the nice cars and homes, all the things that go with it. But your money's not earned honestly. You cheat people. And this is not good. There was one time during the leadership of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he was walking through town, and he overheard this little girl and his mother having a conversation. He was, of course, the leader of the Muslims at the time, trying to get people to be honest with each other, be truthful with each other, forthright with each other, that kind of thing. And so the mom said to the daughter, she said, "Look, okay, we're going to go out and sell this milk to the people, but we're going to add a little bit of water in it. Won't hurt anyone to add a little water, and the people buy it. You know, we make our money and, I guess, stretch our milk out a little bit." And so the girl said, "No, I'm not going to do that." She said that Umar, told her to be honest, to be righteous towards the people. And then she also mentioned that, and if Umar is not around, know that Allah is around and Allah sees us and see what we're doing. We're going to put this milk this water in this milk so that we can make a bigger profit. I'm not going to do that, Mom. I don't want to have anything to do with that whatsoever. Umar overheard this. This girl basically defying her mother and trying to get her mother straight about doing the right thing. Don't do the wrong thing. Although Umar do not see us, Allah sees us. And Allah may allow you to go ahead and do what you're going to do. But then you're going to pay the price on the day of judgment when you come before Allah. So I'm just going back to the tradesman piece I was talking about earlier, be that the tradesperson, be it the tradesman or whatever, being raised up with the wicked. Except for those who are what? Those who are charitable and those who are truthful. Matter of fact, the rest of the story is that Umar, after hearing that, he went home and looked at his sons. He said, like, okay, which one of you are not married? I got a wife for you. And so one of his sons was only one son wasn't married. And so I believe he took that son to the woman's house, knocked on the door, and say, I want my son to marry your daughter. And I believe they end up marrying each other or whatever, but that's, alhamdulillah, that was a beautiful thing that happened. That girl had a good spirit. And Umar saw the good spirit of that young lady. Because she could have went along with the mother and said, yes, Mom, let's put the water in the milk and make a little bit more money. It'll expand our milk and make a little bit more money. But I'm gonna move on because I want to mention just a few more things to you. And it's also mentioned that one of the prophet's companions said, "I heard Abu Umama saying, I heard a messenger of Allah giving a khutbah, meaning a sermon. I'm doing a farewell speech or farewell sermon, and he said, have taqwa of your Lord, and pray five prayers, and fast the month of Ramadan, and I added Ramadan, and pay zakat on wealth. And obey those who are in charge of you, you will enter paradise." So I wanted to mention that having taqwa of Allah is very important. And of course, making the prayers and rest that Muslims are supposed to do. All these things are very important. If we want to and obey those person, people are in charge of us, and we will end up in the paradise. And so I had some other things I wanted to say to y'all, but I'll leave you with this last one. And that it is the Messenger of Allah, the peace be upon him, he said to me, Abu Dhar, he said, have taqwa of Allah, whoever you are, and follow an evil deed with a good one to wipe it out, and treat people with good behavior. And so again, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said to the people to have taqwa of Allah, be pious and showing righteousness. And also any evil that we do, follow it up with a good deed. Because when we do that, it wipes away the evil deed and treat people in a good way. And so my beautiful students, I beg of you to have the patience and also to have taqwa and fear Allah and show righteous behavior and not the opposite and not righteous behavior. To find out more about Islam, Islamic faith, you can always go to the various websites that I mentioned to you before on Why Islam, American Open University, and also the International Online University to find out more about Islam. You want to do something good to help other people out, to get on your road to taqwa, then you can also donate to Muslim Social Services Agency. Or you can find that, you can go online and find the various organizations out, and that's Muslim Social Services Agency. You can also help out ICNA, which is Islamic Circle of North America, and they do a lot of good work for people. And you want to start on the road towards doing good for people and talk about taqwa. And also Islamic Relief is another organization that does a lot of good for people all over the world. Similarly, we have Mercy US-USA, also do a lot of work domestically, meaning here in the United States, and also all over the world. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.